I don't wanna fight no more. I don't wanna lose myself in this. Spinning out of control. Somewhere on the road to happiness. I got lost. And I paid the cost. Yeah. I need another love song, baby, I'm sick. Waking up with sad songs stuck in my head. I wish I was a young dumb kid again. Give me a hit of ignorance and another love song. Give me something. I don't wanna wake up feeling nothing. I wish I was a young dumb kid again. Give me a hit of ignorance and a double shot of bliss. I really only wrote.
You just heard a snippet of the new single, Bliss, by singer-songwriter, rock artist, Billy Raful. The Toronto-Nashville singer-songwriter and producer shares his soulful, intricate, and playful new EP, I Wish You Were Here. It's out right now. I Wish You Were Here features the captivating up-tempo single, We Could Get High, the lush, soothing love song, Better, and the somatic and soft title track, I Wish You Were Here. This six-track EP is a much-anticipated introduction to the next chapter of Raful's artistry. Here to talk about his new single, his EP, and also his UK tour, and some Canadian dates that are going to be coming up, is singer-songwriter, producer, Billy Raful. Well, it's great to have you on this show. I really looked forward to talking to you. I'm such a big fan.
Thank you so much.
I love the new EP.
Be on here.
I love the new EP. Congratulations on that. It is such a great six-track EP.
Thank you so much.
Tell us a little bit. I'm going to be playing the entire thing for the for the international fans, because I thought it was important that we just play this body of work the way it was meant to be. And it doesn't get, you know, done too often. So I wanted to make sure I was doing that for you.
Thank you.
I'm going to talk a little bit about your past, your musical journey, and then we'll get into each song, if that's all right. We'll just talk about, you know, the writing process for each of them.
For sure.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about your musical journey. I know that you were surrounded by music, obviously, with your dad being, you know, a famous musician himself. Tell us a little bit about that influence and what it was like for you growing up in a household that's full of music like that.
I've never known anything different from it, you know, from before I could even walk, you know, there was so much music and live music going on. So, you know, by the time I was a teenager, I had so much influence already in you know, what I like to listen to, and my musical, I guess my palate, you know, was skewed very classic rock, my father's influence, and my mother as well. You know, everything started with the Beatles. My dad and my mom, I think I remember the first new records that my mom got me into were a little bit later on, were like, you know, the early Coldplay records, some U2, and even like Chris Cornell, Audioslave. And yeah, so it was like a cool, kind of like my mom got me, you know, through the 80s and 90s, and my dad everything before.
Mm-hmm. That one must have been so incredible, just to watch your dad and learn and like having that example there to see what he went through. I'm sure he passed down quite a bit of advice to you along the way. Has he done that? And what was the best advice he gave you?
For sure. He still is. And I tell people this often. He's kind of course, he'll tell me things every now and then, but he's really just kind of shown me by example, at the very beginning, what it takes to kind of do this for a living at any level. And just a lot of, you know, it's a big commitment to it and a love for it. And a certain amount of like resilience, you know, because it is such an up and down thing. You're going to have good weeks, you know, bad weeks, good years, even some years that are a little bit tougher. It is like you got to be fully into it. He's never done anything else in his life. And that's kind of been the biggest example for me and my brother, is just that he's been able to provide for us. And having never even finished high school, you know, he's been a musician for his, my whole life, and even before I came along, and just kind of seeing him, you know, make his way through this business and continue to perform, you know, almost every night is pretty incredible. Yeah.
Well, I think too, when you look at a career like his and coming up in the industry the way that he has, he's learned a lot along the way, because music has changed and shifted, and it always does, but you know, it evolves. so much. And now with the streaming platforms, he's probably looking at what you are going through, something he never did, I would imagine.
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting thing. I signed my first record deal when the streaming services were just becoming more prominent, just starting to take over. I remember it was a little foreign to me. And it's changed even since then in the last 8 years,
I know, a lot since COVID too, right? Quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
The streaming platforms, I think too, like when you're doing music today, you have to have all of the business hats on when it comes to the branding and being able to connect with fans online. There's just so much change, but it's so time consuming. If you don't have a team behind you, it's really hard to do as an independent artist and being able to, make the time to sit and record the way that you need to write the way that you need to, then doing the tours and the radio station tours as well. It's not easy.
For sure.
In comparison to what your dad, I'm sure, had to do.
Yeah, it's a different thing now. It's like you need to be more than just a musician or the songwriter. You need to be like a content creator, like you said, you got to wear a lot of hats. Yeah, I'm sure, I'm not saying it's any harder or any easier, because it was just, it's just different. That is the new, especially for independent artists. Yeah, you're expected to be everything, just by yourself.
The full package. You have to have all the hits. You have to have all the streaming numbers, everything, in order to get signed. It's difficult. It's always been difficult. Did you find it hard to know who you were or who you wanted to be as an artist starting out? Or did you already know?
Absolutely, I found it hard. I still am very impressionable. I feel like when I started, I was like so influenced by so many different things and styles of music and different songwriters and different artists that when I had started working with my first record label, I got into so many different rooms with so many different talented people, and I was easily influenced, and not in a bad way, just kind of pulled in this direction and that direction, and it was also exciting to me. That before I knew it, I had between 400 or 500 songs that I was just sifting through, and I didn't, just putting them in different boxes and trying to figure out what I wanted to say and what where the continuity was, and what this is all going to sound like, and it was definitely confusing at the beginning for me.
I can imagine, and I'm sure having your dad in the business, he'd be able to give you the advice of what he wished he knew when he first started out in the career, because you do get pushed in a lot of different directions, and people want, to push you towards concentrating on what radio needs right now, and instead of focusing on what you love and the reason why you started writing to begin with. And I think once you learn that and you hold on to that whole thought, then it makes such a huge difference in how you enjoy this career.
Yep, absolutely.
What has been the hardest thing for you? The hardest thing so far, being a musician?
I don't have many complaints, but I don't know. I know that sounds cliche, but I really do love what I can't imagine myself doing anything else. So every day that I get to kind of, do this and be able to create and put music out in the world and have people listening to it is pretty incredible. I don't, and I love, everyone likes, it must be tough on the road all the time. And it's like, it's so hard to tour. Like, not the actual tour is hard. I'm saying it's so hard for musicians to be able to go on the road and tour. And the fact that I get to, it's like, I have nothing to complain about. It's incredible, really. Especially, nowadays it's harder than ever. It's more expensive. And
very. Oh, yes, it is. Yes.
Especially to tour internationally, we do so much touring outside of Canada, and I feel super, super fortunate to even be able to do it. I don't have any complaints, really. The toughest thing, and it's being remedied nowadays, but the toughest thing I found earlier on in my career was being excited about a song or a recording, have something that I'm really, really anxious and excited to share with people, and not being able to. Being stuck in some kind of process that takes a little bit longer, and kind of burning out on a song or even a whole album's worth of music, as of late, I've been able to kind of put out records that I'm excited about in the moment, and that's been really fulfilling.
I think, too, releasing the tracks off the album, like album cuts, really make a big difference today. And I think that it's just something that so many of the artists are looking at now when they're releasing EPs or albums, because it's just not an album world anymore. It's a singles world. But I think fans are starting to gravitate a little bit more, like after some of the artists that have come out with these bigger albums, and just enjoying that kind of music again. And I'm hoping it kind of goes back, you know, to the album world, because there's nothing like seeing the way that you guys write an album and the concept behind it, and being able to hear it the way it was meant to be, you know?
For sure. For sure. I'm a big, big fan of that. And that's what I was kind of most bummed out about, you know, was being obviously signed to a label at a time when singles and EPs really, especially from new artists, were what you needed to do. And I'd grown up on albums that were complete, you know, where the singles were connected by, like you said, those album tracks that maybe don't have the, that maybe aren't as commercial as the obvious singles, but they're just as important, you know. And I too hope that it gets back to that. I there's nothing better than putting a record together. There's nothing feels better than putting 10 songs, whatever it is, 9, 10, 11 songs together, and hearing them in sequence is just such a good feeling.
I think that's what I enjoyed the most when I listened to the albums, is just it helped me to understand the artist a whole lot more. They're only hearing one song, then they flip to the next one. You know, they miss so much incredible music. And that's why I wanted to play this entirety, like the whole EP in its entirety. Because I think it's really important, because you got a phenomenal career, an incredible career. I've been such a fan of yours since Driver, and when I first heard you.
Oh, that's very sweet.
That was such an incredible opening for you, but you are so talented. So talented. And big fan of your dad's too, so there's just like so much that I appreciate when it comes to this style of music. Now talk to us about the concept of this album and or the CP, and what you wanted fans to get from this.
Well, like any EP, I find that, like, apart from maybe my first EP was part of a bigger album that never really got released in its, and it's, again, you know, it's back to the same conversation, but every EP I've done since then has kind of been a little bit of everything, and they haven't really been too cohesive sonically, and that's by design, I guess, you know, because it's not an album and it's not a single, so it's somewhere in the middle, and I wanted to make sure that I gave every different aspect, you know, some attention. There's a couple acoustic tracks on the record that are more, I don't know, that are maybe more, a little slightly more modern leaning, with Better and Bliss, just in the way that they were recorded.
One of my favorite songs on the EP.
And then there's more, you know, traditional, I guess, singer-songwriter with Jim Carrey, and, you know, leaning as much on the sounds. And then, you know, just some, like the piano ballad, I Wish You Were Here, and then just the title track, and then a couple of songs that are favorites of ours to play live as a trio, as a, like, you know, like a rock band, and that's We Could Get High and Alligator, and they, you know, if it were an album, I don't know if We Could Get High and you know, maybe Bliss would fit on the same record, but because it's just an EP, and it's just like a little shot of kind of everything that we do, I felt okay doing it, you know what I mean? Right. In the past, I've put on International Hotel, which was specifically acoustic and very, very cohesive, and did the same thing with an album called Olympus that I put out only on YouTube. It's only available on YouTube, and that was by design as well, and those are more cohesive bodies, you know, where if you listen through for 40 minutes or 30 minutes, one of them, and you're not going to get anything that jumps out and feels like a thumb on the hand kind of thing. Whereas the EP definitely takes you on a different kind of sonic, you know.
It does, but it's cool the way that you pieced it together. And I think that, you know, the fans have really enjoyed it since the release. And I know everybody in the industry too, because you just have something really special. And what do you think it is about your songwriting and about your music that fans gravitate to?
Well, I hope it comes off as honest, because I do spend quite a bit of time, you know, writing each of these songs, and I don't put, like, each one of these songs on the EP at one point or another was my favorite song I'd written until that point, which I think is important. You know, and it's not always been the case for me. There have been times where, you know, I put something out and I'm like, hey, this is serving a different purpose. But with this EP, I genuinely love these songs and have spent, you know, I think a good amount of time on them. So I hope that comes across, you know, with them being just honest. And people just, you know, are finding their own stories in them, you know, in songs like Jim Carrey and I Wish You Were Here. And I hope that they can see that kind of shining through.
Right from the beginning, I've watched your career. I've been following your career as you go. And you've just got such an incredible future ahead. I don't even think we've even touched what you're capable of. I'm just excited to see where you go, because you've just got a really unique way of looking at a song. And that's what's exciting. Every time you're coming out with it, you're just seeing that growth just continue. And I think that's exactly why you're doing so well in the States, as well as you are internationally now too. And it's huge, you know, for an artist to be welcomed to Germany the way that you have in the UK. And it's going to be pretty special to see where you are in 5 years.
Thank you so much. I hope I'm still excited about music and releasing it. That's all I can ask. And that's all I hoped 5 years ago. And we're still on schedule. So.
Let's go through the songs one by one. The first track on the album, and that is We Could Get High. Let's talk about that one, writing that.
So I wrote that in Nashville end of 2018, maybe beginning of 2019. And it was part of a whole album, a 10-song album, 9-song album, which was just, has not been released. It's a rock and roll record that I made with Justin Zuccato. My good friend and
co-writer on this,
classmate, and he produced this record, this rock record that has never come out. And We Could Get High used to be called Prime Minister, was the name of the song, and
it
was the second song in the sequence of 9 songs. But yeah, and for a long time I didn't think any of these songs on this album were ever going to come out. We went to Germany in 2022, almost a year ago to the day. This was like a rescheduled tour from COVID. And I brought the band, and we worked Prime Minister, at the time it was called, into the set, and it was a standout to the crowds over there. They just grabbed onto it. It's really their song. If it wasn't for that German tour, it wouldn't exist. And then, came back and we're all fueled up from that, you know, and we're so excited about it that I said, you know, we really got to release this. And we ended up changing a few things, but for the most part, releasing the demo from 2019 is what you're hearing for the most part.
Very cool. We're going to play this one right now. Here is We Could Get High by Canadian singer-songwriter, producer Billy Raffoul here on Music's Journey.
Worn off, growing up his heart sometimes.
That was We Should Get High by my very special guest singer-songwriter Billy Raffool off his new EP, I Wish You Were Here. It is such a cool song. This is one that a lot of the fans internationally have requested for me to play. So very cool song. I love it. Absolutely love it. Let's talk about the next track, Alligator. This is such a fun song. Tell me about writing this one.
This one is a little different for me in a good way. I went down to Floribama, actually, with my girlfriend Bianca. We went 2021, I think, right as kind of COVID restrictions at the time were lifting, I think. And then we went down and for this trip, and it was a great time for about a week, and then came back to Nashville, and we had a couple weeks in Nashville, and I was just sitting on the room and came up with this idea, this alligator, this funny lyric, and, you know, about our trip. And I've been messing around with a chorus pedal that I had gotten. That's the main sound from the song. It was just a really fun riff to play on the guitar, and it kind of stemmed from there. And I thought that the chord changes were so kind of weird and wonky, in a kind of cool way that kind of inspired the lyric to also be a little weird and wonky. I don't know how to describe it other than I always tell people it feels like the walls are melting or something.
See
like
that.
You're in a room and the paint is wet still or something like that. That's what the feeling that the song kind of gave me when I finished it.
I loved the video you did for this too. That was good. That was really good. Yeah, because I think, you know, it helps for fans just to have a little sneak peek of how you come up with this stuff, right? And it's just, it was really cool. A lot of fun, this one. We're going to play this one right now. Here's the second track, Alligator, off the new EP, I Wish You Were Here, by singer-songwriter Billy Raffool, here on Music's Journey.
I kind of wish I never met you. I wouldn't have to forget how cool you are. You're the best part of my bedroom. Otherwise, it's just a box full of guitars. I would wear you like a tattoo to remind me of the reason I'm alive. What a silly thing that we do. To be honest, to be dumbest, to be 25.
Was Alligator, the second track off the new EP, I Wish You Were Here, by singer-songwriter Billy Raffool. You've created music that resonates with the fans worldwide. What does it mean to you to hear the stories that they come up with in ways that have touched their lives off the lyrics and songs that you release?
Oh, it's so special. It's so cool to me. It's like the whole reason I do this is to connect with people, both, you know, in a live setting, and then also, you know, hearing these stories after music's been released, hearing songs played at weddings, first dances, people walking down the aisle to the songs is it's so cool. It's like, you know, humbling and just the reason why I do it. So, yeah, I don't know. It definitely keeps me going.
And you hear a fan talk about sharing their special day with a piece of music that you've put out there. That's going to be generations that you're going to be influencing right there, because like you grew up with your dad's music that he loved, and you grew up with the music your mom loved. Well, you know, that person's going to have kids of their own and grandkids, and they're going to remember your music too. So it's a staple in rock music. You've just done a phenomenal job in your career so far, and I love it, the fact that you write music from your heart. And I think that, as we were saying earlier, means so much to the fans, and that's what they pick up on. Is it hard for you to write from a vulnerable place, or easier?
Not really. I feel that I kind of get a feeling like when I'm working on something that is a little maybe too close to me, it's a good feeling, you know. I feel that I'm kind of like I'm maybe revealing something or saying something that I wouldn't even say in conversation, but I'm going to put it in a song that anyone can listen to, you know, and I don't know, it kind of drives me to finish the song, you know, if there's even a few lines in it that maybe are a little very close and specific to me. Mm-hmm. So I think those are the moments I'm searching for, the lyrics I'm searching for, that are going to, you know, attach me to the song forever, because that's the goal, is making music that I want to perform forever and not mm-hmm. get tired of, or not just be a, you know, something I'm doing for the moment. And yeah, so I really try and, you know, revel in those like little moments of vulnerability where it feels like I'm actually saying something that's honest and real to me.
Mm-hmm. I love it. I absolutely love it. More vulnerable you are, the better the song. And that's what I like about artists that are focused and not performing to radio. Of course, you want to have some tracks that are going to hit radio, and it gets you on air and it gets the fans anticipating the next release. But when you're writing for what you love and something that means something to you, those are the ones that are going to hit real hard on Spotify and all the streaming platforms and Apple Music, all of that, because the fans have an opportunity to be able to see a little bit deeper. And that's why I like this show. But this platform allows me to go deeper and be able to share a lot more, you know, with the fans, other than just when you've released an album, you know, where can they download it? Where can they see you next in travel and stuff? But this just allows me to be able to, you know, just peel back the layers a little bit. And I hope you don't mind me doing that with you.
No, I love it. I you know, when I'm a fan of a musician, which I'm a fan of so many artists and musicians, being able to hear them talk about, you know, the stories behind the song, mm-hmm. maybe a little bit more in depth, it's not a generic answer.
Exactly.
I love those.
Yeah,
so,
me too.
Awesome. I hope you keep going.
Tell me about Jim Carrey, because I know obviously he had an influence for you growing up. Tell me about writing this one.
Yeah, for sure. He had a huge influence. I mean, his movies, you know, they kind of, like, I can think back to my childhood, the first time seeing so many of us, you know, and memorizing them and trying to imitate him. But the song specifically was about one of his movies I didn't watch or understand until I was older, and that's Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Oh, yeah.
One of my favorite movies, and that's really, without getting into it too much, I mean, that's really what the song is about. It's about that movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's a song I wrote when I was in Rotterdam in 2019 in the fall. I wrote it there, again, visiting Bianca, who alligators about our trip to Florida. This is about time in Rotterdam, and she was going to school out there, and yeah, I just sat out on a tree stump one day and wrote this song. I don't know if I just rewatched the movie recently or not. Just really a song about kind of dancing around all of the things in your hometown or your city or wherever that might remind you of somebody from your past, and how you kind of go through life with those things there. Maybe you're trying to hide from them or not, you know, bounce around them, or maybe you're looking at them head on, and then and then what it would be like to just not have them at all. Yeah.
That's what I said, is just getting inside of your head and where you come up with stuff like this. It's really cool to hear. This is such a great song and such a fan favorite. We're going to play this one right now. Here's Jim Carrey, the third track off the new EP, I Wish You Were Here, by singer-songwriter Billy Raful, here on Music's Journey. Was the fan favorite single Jim Carrey, the third track on the new EP, I Wish You Were Here, released in March of this year by my very special guest, singer-songwriter and producer, Billy Raful. Such a cool song. What's the best advice you've ever been given so far in your career?
Best advice? I don't know. I don't have any one line, you know, that's just kind of going to knock me out or something like that, but a bunch of little things, you know. Someone in Atlanta told me one time when I was opening for a band, never run out of merch. This is where you're going to make your money.
Really?
Keep not making enough merch. So I haven't been listening to this guy. and it is a constant struggle of, you know, the fine line between being efficient with your inventory and having enough stuff on the road, and then also...
It's the business hat, right?
Travel, because you can't actually, carry it all. We did the best we've ever done on the last tour, which is I had merch slow shipped to every city every 5 nights or whatever.
Wow.
Yeah, there's a little, I guess.
Very cool.
I don't know, I just,
That's the business hats, right?
Just,
the business hats that you need to wear as you're doing all this, right? Because it's a lot. Yeah. It's a lot when you're traveling. It really is, because especially now with what you can take with you. And yeah, it's a nightmare when it comes to that part of it. What has been the advice you would give a younger Billy with all the experience that you've gone through in your own personal career? What would be the advice that you would give a younger Billy today?
Maybe go with your gut a little bit more. I've tried to go with my gut as much as I can. You know, it's hard when you're younger and you're around all these exciting people and you're working with these people in the industry that are, you know, professionals. You're just excited and you feel lucky to be in the room with them, you know, and you're quick to kind of change things about maybe the way you want to do something because they're telling.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, it's an old music business cliche. I guess it's just I would tell them to, yeah, like I said, kind of trust yourself a little bit more. I feel like I've done a good job, and I'm happy with
where you're at now. Yeah.
Some of it. Yeah. You know. Trust yourself.
Yeah, you gotta
go back. Yeah,
you learn as you go, right? And that's a
sure.
big part of this business. And then you come back to what you know is true to you. And that's a nice place to be right now, is where you're at right now. And I think that's why you're feeling so much more comfortable when it comes to the songs that you're releasing, because they're you. That's the artist you've always wanted to be. And that's why I said to you at the beginning of this interview is that I think that's just the tip of the iceberg of what we know is going to be coming from you. Because I think now that's exactly where you want to be.
Oh, thank you.
Tell us about the fourth track, Better. Tell us about that.
Better's one of the, Better's one of the older ones, a lot older. I think I'd originally wrote the chorus and the verse lyric when not long after Acoustic had come out, which was 2018. I was just kind of really excited about the reception that Acoustic had gotten with, you know, my listeners. I wanted to have a sister track to it. So I had written Better around that time in early 2018. And it took, 5 years for it to come out, 4 years for it to come out.
This is almost like this EP is like almost like 4 years in the making, kind of.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a love song. It's a short and sweet kind of thing, straight to the point. I'm very happy that was what we chose to lead this project mm-hmm. off with. It was the first song released.
This one is another one that I get requested a lot, and that's from Australia and a lot of the UK. That's the one that we get a lot of requests for. So it's such a great song. We're going to play this one right now. Here is Better by singer-songwriter and producer Billy Raful here on Music's Journey.
Remember all the times they let you down. Told you they'd do right next time around. Well, next time's come and gone, and you're still standing on your own apologies at your feet. I wanna build you up when you're breaking down. Give you all the love that you've gone without. I wanna make you smile. Wanna put you back together. You've been hurt before. I wanna love you better. I just wanna let you take control. Don't you dim your light to make me comfortable. I wanna be the one to undo everything they've done. Breaking down, give you all the love that you've gone without.
baby, don't let it hold you back. I wanna build you up when you're breaking down. Give you all the love that you've gone without. I wanna make you smile.
That was Better, another track from the new EP, I Wish You Were Here, the singer-songwriter from Billy Raful. Such a great song. What is the one thing that you find when you're in the U.S. and traveling there and performing there that is a lot different than here in Canada with your fans? Because you perform there a lot more than you do here.
Yeah, I do. Honestly, I've done so much touring in the States. It feels pretty normal to me. I haven't toured Canada as much as I would like to, and I'm going to do some more touring in Canada this year.
Oh, good, good.
But I've only gone across the country once to actually perform, and actually go through Manitoba and Alberta and getting out to, I'd played in Vancouver a few times, but actually driving across and doing the shows and getting out to Victoria. I still haven't explored the East Coast, and I can't wait to finally get out there. But just playing in the States just feels, normal to me. It honestly, I've spent more time there, and it's the other way for me.
Feels like home.
In Canada and play more at home, for sure.
Can't wait. And that way I get to do a live interview with you and get to see you play live again. That would be so awesome. The one song that I do love is Bliss. That's one of my favorites. We're going to talk about that one next. Tell us about writing that. I love your vocals in this one, by the way.
Thank you. Bliss I wrote during the pandemic, late at night, 2:33 in the morning, in the basement because I was trying to be quiet. I go back to the demo of it often just to listen to it because it's not at all what it sounded like when it came out because I was trying to be so quiet. But the lyric for the chorus was written, early in the morning. And I think I was a little upset at the time. I was in between record deals. I was a little frustrated with what was happening on the business side of things. And the lyric, was literally like, I need to write another love song. I need to write another song
Mm-hmm.
happy thing, something poppy kind of thing. And so it's a song about writing the song, I'm literally talking about wanting to do it. And the lyric originally was a little harsher, and I kind of,
softened it up a bit.
Toned it down a little bit. To be a little bit more digestible, I guess. And now it's something different. Now it's a song, about innocence and remembering why you do something in the first place. When you're a kid and you just do something because you like it and there's no agenda or you're not worried about,
no fear,
money or what's going to happen tomorrow. It's just turned into that kind of thing. And whenever I'm performing it now, I'm thinking about why I'm doing this in the first place. And it's been a good song to bring me back to center.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm glad this one's resonating.
It is, and it really stuck with me because it brings you back to the whole reasons why you enjoyed life to begin with. You enjoyed certain things that are part of who you are. It's a part of the map of your life, and that's what I was getting from it. And you're hearing a lot of fans coming out with some stories with this, and people of all age groups I've seen. And I've seen somebody in their 70s relate a cool story to this one. And it's just reminding everybody of what's important and remembering to live life and enjoy life and not live in the fear. Yeah, it was like a really cool song. I really enjoyed the message in this one. We're going to play this one right now. Here is Bliss by singer-songwriter Billy Raful here on Music's Journey.
I don't want to fight no more. I don't want to lose myself in this. Spinning out of control. Somewhere on the road. Happiness, I got lost, and I paid the cost. Yeah, I need another love song, baby. I'm sick of wasting.
waking up with sad songs stuck in my head. I wish I was a young dumb kid again. Give me a hit of ignorance and another love song. Give me something. I don't wanna wake up feeling nothing. I wish I was a young dumb kid again. Give me a hit of ignorance and a double shot of bliss. I really only wrote this song hoping one day you'd be listening. I've been on my own so long, I could really use a helping hand. I got lost and I paid the cost. I need another love song, baby, I'm sick of waking up with sad songs stuck in my head. I wish I was a young dumb kid again. Give me a hit of ignorance and another love song. Give me something. I don't wanna wake up feeling nothing. I wish I was a young dumb kid again. Give me a hit of ignorance and a double shot of bliss. A double shot of bliss. I need another love song, baby, I'm sick. Waking up with sad songs stuck in my head. I wish I was a young dumb kid again. Give me a hit of ignorance and another love song. Give me something. I don't wanna wake up feeling nothing. I wish I was a young dumb kid again. Give me a hit of ignorance and a double shot of bliss. A double shot of bliss and a double shot of.
That was Bliss, the fifth track on the new EP, I Wish You Were Here, by my very special guest, singer-songwriter Billy Raful. What song do you wish you had written personally? Song that meant something to you, that you resonated with personally?
There's so many. I can tell you one I heard today. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
If that's all right.
Yeah.
I haven't known the song for more than 12 hours, but I heard, or maybe yesterday I heard it for the first time, a brand new song from Jason Isbell in the 400 unit called Cast Iron Skillet.
Oh, yes.
It's only a day old. I think it came out yesterday. I'm not sure. But
I heard it this morning. Yeah,
wow,
it's a good song.
Stopped me in my tracks. It's insanely good writing. Even if you feel like you can't really relate to exactly what he's saying, you feel it.
Mm-hmm.
Like no other writer than me. So I was like, wow, I haven't been able to stop listening to it in the last day or so.
Very cool. I just heard it this morning and I played it a couple times just as I was getting ready for the day, you know, when it comes to all the new music. Mm-hmm. And yeah, such a good, really, really good track. Really good. Let's talk about your title track. This one again is really resonating, you know, with the fans out there worldwide. So what was it like for you to write this one and choose this as the title track?
I wrote this one in Nashville with my brother Peter. My brother Peter is also a musician. He's fantastic. He's incredible, you know, singer, songwriter, producer, everything. My favorite co-writer. Him and I also wrote Alligator together. He was playing the piano one day, and I was showing him a chord progression that sounded really good on the guitar, and we were just figuring it out on the piano, and he was playing it, and he actually plays it on the recording. We just wrote this song super quickly. We had just watched a movie. We were inspired by the movie. We were feeling very creative, and I think the song was done in like a couple hours, and then, it just so straightforward. It made sense, and a few months later, we flew to Los Angeles and recorded it with Mike Crossey, who's a longtime collaborator of mine and friend. And it just seemed like the right, you know, track to title the EP. In the past, I've had the final tracks of EPs, and both Running Wild and 1975
mm-hmm.
be the titles. And I kept that theme going with this one.
Very cool. It's nice to hear the story behind that, especially with your brother too. So that's really cool. We're going to play this one right now. Here is the title track, I Wish You Were Here, by singer-songwriter, producer Billy Raful, here on Music's Journey.
I know you're
tried to leave, but I don't know why. I guess sometimes it's better not to say goodbye. Does your heart break the same as mine? Now the only way I see you is if I close my eyes. They say it all gets better, all gets better in time. But I don't think I will ever be fine. Oh my dear, without you here, it's been one hell of a year. Counting tears, stacking up fears, will they ever disappear? I wish you were here. Don't wanna see the day that your memory fades, cause I know that no one could ever take your place. I still got some things I can't throw away, and I know you've got them too. I hope you feel the same. They say it all gets better in time. But I know that I will never be fine. Oh my dear, without you here, it's been one hell of a year. Counting tears, stacking up fears, will they ever disappear? I wish you were here. I wish you were here. Will they ever disappear? Oh my dear, without you here, it's been one hell of a year. Counting tears, stacking up fears, will they ever disappear? I wish you were here.
That was the title track, I Wish You Were Here, the new EP by Billy Raful. Don't forget you can download I Wish You Were Here on all your streaming platforms. You can add them to your playlist, and you also can request any of the songs at your favorite local radio station. Congratulations on this EP. I look forward to what you do next. And this is just going to be so cool for you to play live in Germany, out in the UK and in the US. I just can't wait to see you play some of these really cool songs that you've released so far. Very cool.
Thank you so much, Kim. Thank you for having me on and all the great questions. You know, it's fun to tell these stories, especially a couple I haven't told before. So.
Mm-hmm. I really, really look forward to meeting you live and just being able to see you play and just seeing what you do with a crowd, because I've seen it once before and I would love to be back in there and seeing it again. You're pretty exciting and as an artist and as a writer. So I'm really, really excited for your future. So thank you so much for sharing your amazing gift with us all. And same thing with your brother and your father.
Thank you so much.
Got a show coming up in Toronto, I think on what, June 9th, I think?
June 9th. Yes,
at the correct. Phoenix?
Yep.
Very cool. And you're off right now to Germany. Very soon, right?
So yes, very soon. I'm doing some writing and recording in Los Angeles for the next few weeks, and then I will be starting in Amsterdam on May 18th.
Oh, wow. So, yeah, that's not too far away. Not too far away at all.
No, it's coming up. I cannot wait.
Well, congratulations once again, and thank you for taking the time and just sharing a little bit more insight and about who you are and your amazing, amazing story. So thank you again, and I look forward to seeing you on the road.
Likewise. Thank you so much, Kim.
Okay, take care, okay? Safe travels.
Will do.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
A great big thank you to my very special guest, Billy Rafoul, for coming on the show. I've got some great shows coming up. I'm going to be interviewing Jason Benoit, Madeleine Merlot, Tim Hicks, David Boy James, Faber Drive, Tegan Gaze, Jay Coote, winner of The Voice, is back with another special song. I've got Mike Whiteside, Jade Eagleson, The Heels, Shantaya, New Moon Junction, Brittany Cannell, Runaway Angel, Anthony Tulo, Rock Icons Lighthouse, Rock Icons The Stampeders, Griffin Palmer, Ty Wilson, Rock Band Harm and Ease, The Prairie States, Dan Davidson, Annika, and so many more. Don't forget you can catch all the shows that you don't want to miss at musicsjourney.com. You can also check out all the articles, new releases, new videos, and reviews at nowandthenmagazine.com. Well, that's it for me, your host Kim Sear. Thank you so much for tuning in to The Music's Journey Show, and have yourselves a wonderful day. I will catch you here next time on Music's Journey.